Hi, this is Laura with Kick Ass in Life, where I help you get hired fast, be smart with money, and be a little happier and healthier. The job search process is not easy. It's messy, it's complicated, it's super frustrating. And what's really annoying is the lack of responsiveness on behalf of the companies. So you apply to a job and then you maybe never hear back from a company. That's super typical. I always call that the black hole of applications. And it's so easy to fall in the black hole of applications. The system sets you up to fail. Basically, once you apply, you don't know where your application goes. We just did a listener question episode where I heard your frustrations about the job search process. And it's one of the reasons that really led me on the path to create this podcast and my ebook, Kick-Ass in Your Career, so that you can find ways to get hired fast. But believe me, I know it's a frustrating process. So Shireen Jaffer is working to change that. Shireen is the co-founder and CEO of Edvo, which she calls your job search on autopilot. It's a venture-backed startup that works as a matchmaker between companies and candidates to close the gap and fast-track the interview process. Shireen has always wanted to help candidates navigate the job search, whether it be her friends in college advising them to network and find internships, or advising candidates to make real connections to build a network.
Know that you have the power to help others and people genuinely want to help you. It's just about building that relationship and starting a genuine conversation with the right intentions. And just like you mentioned, Laura, the intention is to get to know people and to get advice and to get insights. The intention is not to con your way into getting an internal referral, because that's not sincere and the majority of people will see right through that.
We talk about how to make those real connections, how to optimize your LinkedIn profile, how to leverage your existing networks, how to add value to those connections, how to leverage the power of an internal referral, and how a one-click apply is not leading to the outcome you want. It's not about how many applications you submit, but rather how many offers you get. It's such good advice for all of the job searchers out there. Let's dive in.
Why don't we start with a little quick intro of who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So I am the CEO and co-founder at Edvo, and Edvo is essentially your job search on autopilot. I've been in the recruiting industry for the last 8 years, and one of the biggest frustrations that I've seen candidates have is this lack of responsiveness from companies and not necessarily knowing what jobs fit them the best. And the job search in itself is just a frustrating and not the most fun experience. So I've spent the last 8 years working in a variety of ways to fix that problem. And a lot of what we're doing at Edvo is inspired by the struggles that I've heard candidates have, that I've witnessed firsthand and also just heard stories about, and currently helping candidates get through.
Well, and that's something that we talk a lot about on this podcast, is sort of how you can get through the black hole of applications, because I think that is, that feeling is really real. And the frustration that you feel from not hearing back from companies can really hinder people in the job search. So it's cool that you found a solution to help solve for that. Before we sort of dive into the how the technology works, how did you get your first job and how did you find yourself on the career path you're on?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's interesting. I was raised in Palo Alto, but I had a very unconventional upbringing in the sense that we moved from Pakistan. So, I was constantly surrounded by people who had awesome opportunities, could do a lot of cool things over the summer, and their families had connections. So I saw a lot of my friends being able to take advantage of opportunities that weren't necessarily available to me or opportunities that we could afford. So I learned early on, or I recognized at least early on, that in my family, my mom was working, very hard, working 3 jobs. She wouldn't necessarily have the time to help me build a resume or learn how to network or, get into what my goal was at the time, get into the right school, quote unquote. And so I started working when I was 14. And in California, you only have to be 14 and a half to have an internship. So I was talking to a lot of my teachers, and fortunately, they understood that I, would fit in specific career pathways, and they had suggestions of internships I could become a part of. So just actually working through my teachers and people they knew, I ended up getting my first job in real estate at the age of 14 and a half. And then from there, I applied to random jobs. I worked at a frozen yogurt place. I worked at a Kmart. I did a business internship. I worked in the pediatrics ward at a hospital. I did all that throughout high school, just again with the motivation of, okay, I need to keep up with my peers who again seem to be taking advantage of so many cool opportunities from their own networks. And then once I got into college, I realized that because our society put such an emphasis on academics, a lot of my friends actually hadn't taken advantage of those opportunities to intern and get involved and figure out, you know, how to get a job and what type of job they even resonated with. So I ended up, again, as I mentioned, getting my first job through networking. But then once I came into college, after that, it was just helping other people get jobs through networking and, you know, getting real world experience and being able to explore and validate their interests.
I think that's really smart. And I do think when you graduate, I think everybody has that emphasis on academics. So people aren't really exploring and trying to figure out what they like, what they don't like. They just know that they need to get a job, but they don't necessarily know how to get a job. So I think for someone, your background's really interesting. The fact that you had all these jobs, you knew how to get them so you could help your friends do that too. Because I also think that in once you graduate, you're not necessarily taught all of the skills in order to get the right job. In terms of, you know, your resume, you should have a resume, but you don't know how it should look and how it will get the most traction. What were some tips that you had for your friends at the time, or how did you personally stand apart in the job search? What were some things that you did? You mentioned networking, which I think is super smart. What did that look like?
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to your point also about, you know, people know that they should have a resume, but don't necessarily know how to create one. I think, unfortunately, we get a lot of bad advice when it comes to what we need to find a job that is best for us. So a lot of the advice I saw my friends, at least in college, getting is, you know, go after the name brand internships, go intern at Morgan Stanley. I came out of, by the way, the business school. So a lot of the companies that, you know, we were pushed towards was Deloitte and Morgan Stanley and the big tech companies. And I'm not saying those companies are bad at all. They are incredible internships for some people, but the mistake of only considering those opportunities and also thinking that those are the opportunities that are going to be the best for you, that's the dangerous part of getting this type of advice. So what I would always tell my friends is, hey, you know, reach out to alumni I went to USC. So reach out to people that graduated from USC that, you know, might have been involved in organizations that you are now involved in. If you're part of a professional fraternity or sorority, or even a social fraternity or sorority, or if you're in a student-led organization in college, reach out to people who were doing those type of things, but now are graduated, and learn about them and learn about the companies they're working at and learn about the roles they're in, and just learn, just talk about it. Because a lot of roles that you might go into that you end up loving and finding that, oh, wow, this is actually my quote unquote dream job, you might not even know that role exists today. You might not have even heard about it yet, or the company where you can truly fit both as far as the role is concerned, as far as the culture of the organization is concerned, you might not even know what that company is because it doesn't necessarily have a brand reputation yet. So the advice I always gave my friends was just talk to a bunch of people, ask thoughtful questions about what their role looks like, what their company looks like, what other companies they've interviewed at or are familiar with, what differences have they seen between, you know, the culture of their organization versus others, what made them choose their current company. That is the best way, frankly, to learn about the types of roles and opportunities and companies that exist that you can potentially get involved with.
Yeah, because that gives you so much information, and information is power. And you can kind of suss out from those conversations what you might like, what you may not like. And then I think also to not be afraid to just get started. I think some people are so fearful of choosing the wrong thing that they sort of wallow in their inaction. And so I think being able to, like, just be willing to take a job, job. And so you can get started. And maybe it isn't that name brand, but it is a place that you can learn. So you're curious and you keep growing and expanding your network of people. And to your point, yeah, you could either find out that that's your dream job, you didn't know it existed before, or you can find out that you really don't like it. And that's information too, that, yeah, that you can use to guide you in your next step.
Yeah. And two things there. I think one, you know, to your point of figuring out if I can't tell you how many people I've spoken to of all ages that just by having a simple conversation crossed an interest off of their list. And I've had so many, you know, candidates I work with and recent grads and career changers in their 30s, 40s, 50s that have this idea of wanting to pursue this specific type of role. And then they talk to three people who have that role and they realize, oh my gosh, this is not at all what I thought it'd be. And actually, I am not into this. And then they realize something that person mentioned is more related to their interest, or they identify that, oh, maybe my non-negotiables were I want a specific management style and I want a specific type of industry to be working in, or I have specific minimum requirements within a workplace that I know will allow me to be successful. So for example, I need a collaborative working environment where I can bounce ideas off of, you know, off of other people. And I realized that this specific role that I thought I was interested in actually requires you to be in a silo and working in a very isolated way. And that's actually not at all what I need to be successful. So having those conversations, absolutely, I agree, allows you to figure out what you're not interested in. And then also, Laura, it just helps you build relationships. And one of the things I really want to talk about and really help people take advantage of are internal referrals. So many companies now, Laura, have these internal referral incentives where if employees recommend, you know, other candidates for specific job openings within their organization, that employee benefits because there's some sort of, you know, monetary or, you know, AirPods, yeah, it's a common incentive. Sure. You know, there's some sort of incentive there. So by talking to a bunch of people, hopefully you'll also build relationships where you can help them take advantage of their internal, you know, employee referral programs. And then you can also find a better way, a more effective way of getting in an interview. Because again, companies are most likely to hire through internal referrals than any other source out there.
I think that's really smart. People are so important in this job search process and those connections. And as you mentioned, networking, expanding your network of people that you know, and the more conversations, the more you're learning. But what about for somebody just getting started? I mean, they feel like they don't know a lot of people. What are some ways that they can find people to reach out to?
Yep. So if you're coming from a university, your alumni network is your best bet. And if you're not coming from a university, LinkedIn is your best bet. And by the way, LinkedIn is good for both parties, obviously. LinkedIn is probably one of the most powerful resources you can have as far as really setting up a profile that feels strong, that communicates what you've been involved with. And so I have a lot of recent grads that say, I totally didn't do internships. I didn't necessarily get work experience. I have nothing to put on my LinkedIn. And I always respond to them and say, that's just not true, because as part of your schoolwork, you probably worked on so many projects. You may have volunteered somewhere. You may have done a research project. There are so many skills that are transferable that you developed by just being a student. For example, collaboration, working in a team, communication, giving presentations, all of that, time management, all of those are transferable skill sets. So if you don't have quote unquote formal work experience and internship experience, you can still articulate the skills and accomplishments you achieve through those projects and put that on your LinkedIn. And then if you've obviously had part-time jobs, which is very, very common in most, you know, recent grads or entry-level folks, they still have some sort of part-time work experience. Put that on your LinkedIn, and the art really comes into how you articulate, again, your accomplishments, the quantitative metrics on what you did, how you can prove that you did a good job at those roles. So once you put that on your LinkedIn, then it's as easy, you know, search, go into the search bar, and let's say you want to go into a marketing job. Look up marketing coordinators in Los Angeles, if that's where you're based, or, you know, in Santa Monica, if you want to get even more specific, and look at all the marketing coordinators that come up and just look at what their experiences have been, what they were doing before that marketing coordinator role, what companies are they at, and then send them a message. Usually when you hit the connect button on LinkedIn, it says, would you like to add an optional note? I always say it's never optional. Write a personal note, and you can say something like, hey, Abigail, I'm just now starting my career in marketing. I'm really interested to learn a little bit more about how, you know, you found your role and how it's been for you. I was wondering if you have 15 minutes to get on a phone call. I'd really appreciate getting your insights and advice. And you might have to do that a few times, probably 10, 20, 30 times. And, you know, the more people you contact, the higher the chances they'll respond. But that's it. You know, you don't necessarily, I always like to say, you don't need to have, I didn't, for example, have my own network that I was born into or, you know, even had built. It just came from building my own network of champions by reaching out to a bunch of people and seeing who I vibed with and who I learned from.
Oh, I like that network of champions. I'm going to have to use that, but it is, you know, collecting these relationships and it's so smart to do that outreach. It can be a little bit scary the first couple times you're reaching out to them, to people you don't know, sort of the cold emails or the cold LinkedIn requests. But I think that if you're genuinely interested in what they do, how they got where they are, and you have thoughtful questions that you're prepared with if they respond. I think someone's very willing to give their time to a curious, mm-hmm. interested candidate. And when you're having that conversation, it's not about, okay, what job postings do you have? Do you have a job for me? You know, it's really exactly. Like how you can support the other person, how you can learn from them, but also like what you can bring to the table and what you can provide to them.
Yep. I'm a big advocate for adding value before, quote unquote, extracting value. And so absolutely, I agree. It's all about, you know, helping them talk. People love to talk about themselves. And so I always, you know, in my last company, Skillify, I was always working with high school students and they would have a lot of this nervousness around reaching out to, you know, professionals and asking for their time. And the common misconception was they're so busy, they don't want to make time for me. So yes, it's true that they're busy, but it's not true that they don't want to take time for you. People love to mentor, people love to help out, and they're willing to do it at no cost. They want to do it pro bono. So as long as you're reaching out in a genuine way, as long as you're taking a sincere interest in them and their stories and how they got there, and you can always ask, you know, thank you. You can always say, thank you so much for taking the time. How can I help you? Is there anything that I can do to help you out? And I've had, for example, I always used to do this with the teachers I worked with. And, you know, there was always something I could help them with that I didn't even realize. So know that you have the power to help others and people genuinely want to help you. It's just about building that relationship and starting a genuine conversation with the right intentions. And just like you mentioned, Laura, the intention is to get to know people and to get advice and to get insights. The intention is not to con your way into getting an internal referral because that's not sincere and the majority of people will see right through that.
Exactly. And I think once you're building that relationship to take time and you might have to nurture that relationship, but it could be a big, you can add them to your champions to help you in the future. And as you help them, it just kind of keeps the whole cycle going. What are some like pitfalls you see in the job search process job searchers make that they should avoid?
Yes. So I think there's a lot of noise out there. And what I mean by that is there are so many job postings and job descriptions. There's millions on LinkedIn alone. We did a quick search on LinkedIn on, you know, how many sales, entry-level sales jobs there were. And then there was over a million on there. So when you have so many opportunities out there, how do you truly know what to apply to and how to apply to it and if it's even the right fit for you? And the trap that I see a lot of job seekers falling into is they spend the majority of their time just applying to job postings or going on LinkedIn or ZipRecruiter and doing the one-click apply where, you know, obviously the job boards are saying, hey, you can save so much time by applying to hundreds of job postings within a minute. But that's not the outcome that you know, a job seeker should be optimizing for. Your outcome isn't how many applications I can submit. It's how many offers I can get, because those are, that's what you want. You want options. And then ideally those offers are so great that you're going to accept one of them. But the outcome is how many offers I can get, which means how many interviews can I get? So when you're applying just on job boards and you're doing the one-click apply, if you look at the data, job boards are the likelihood of you getting hired through a job board application is significantly lower than the likelihood of you getting hired through an internal referral or through even another source. So I always like to tell my candidates, go and look at the data and look at what are the best ways, or what are the sources that companies hire from most frequently. And you'll see, you know, internal referrals, like I mentioned, are at the top of the list. And then, you know, there's internship programs or externship programs that companies do. And that's another, you know, that's typically on the top of the list. And then usually job boards and websites and cold outreaches kind of fall towards the bottom of that list. So if you have, you know, job searching unfortunately ends up being a full-time job. It really shouldn't be. And that's why Edvo exists. But unfortunately today, until we can make a big enough impact, job search really does take a long time. So let's say you have, you know, 20 hours in a week. If you're obviously working, you're not going to spend 40 hours a week on your job search. But let's say you're spending 20 hours a week or 10 hours a week. What percentage of that time are you spending on job boards versus networking to then get into, you know, build those genuine relationships to then increase your likelihood of getting internal referrals? If you tell me you're spending 80% of your time on job boards and just rewriting your resume and submitting it into this, you know, black hole of where resumes right. go into, and only 20% of your time is spent networking and trying to identify, you know, how to get warm referrals into companies you're interested in, I would say you're not optimizing for the right outcome of, again, getting a job offer. Because if the chances of you getting a job through an internal referral is, you know, 80% better than just going through a job board, then 80% of your time should be spent networking and trying to find those warm referrals. And then 20% should be on job board. So that's the trap that I feel a lot of candidates fall into, just because job boards are easier. They're obviously, you know, on your laptop, it's convenient, you can do it. But it's awesome if you submit 3,000 applications. However, if you're not actually getting any results from that, what are you truly working towards?
Yeah, I like that perspective of optimizing for the outcome you want, which is not just the number of jobs you can apply to, but it really is getting those, yeah, getting those interviews, getting those offers. So I think working smarter, not harder, really plays into this. In terms of that, I mean, I think when I was just getting started, I was sitting at my mom, you know, on my mom's couch in Kansas, applying to jobs in New York. And every time I applied to a job, oh, wow, I feel productive. I get that email that says that I applied. I thought I did something, you know, but that was not the smartest way to work, because it really is these relationships.
And it also impacts your likelihood of, frankly, getting to the final stages of the interview. Because I work with hundreds of companies as employer partners to Edvo and my, you know, last company, Skillify, I saw so many candidates who did get the first interview through the job board. But then by the time it came to the final interview, they ended up going with the candidate who came through an internal referral. So again, even if you get the interview, the outcome you're optimizing for is actually getting the offer. And again, looking at the data and the trends, people are more likely to actually, you know, hire people that came through internal referrals, because for them, if you look at the logic, for them, it's, you know, my employee knows the realities of the job. My employee knows the realities of this organization. So if they are recommending someone that they truly believe can be a good fit for our organization, I have more faith in that relevancy than someone who read a job description that we may or may not have updated recently, and they applied to it and now are going through the process without necessarily having any quote unquote insider information in the organization, right? So know that it's not just about even getting the first interview. There's also impact on how you're being introduced to the organization throughout the interview process.
Yeah, that's totally valid. So tell me a little bit more about Edvo. How does it work? What is the purpose? I think you did a really good job explaining that people are searching for jobs in the wrong way. How does Edvo work to solve that?
Yep. So, you know, when we, about a year and a half ago, we came up with the idea of EdVote, it was because we came across this statistic that really was the icing on the cake and had us fully commit to what we're doing here. And it was the fact that it takes 36 days on average for a company to fill an entry-level opening that they have. But to get that same exact entry-level job, the candidate is typically on a job search for 6 months. On average. And that discrepancy, Laura, between 36 days and 6 months to us was just a result of the fact that in the recruiting industry and in when it comes to, you know, searching for jobs, every solution in the space has really been focused on companies, and the companies have always been the customer. So anytime a product is being enhanced, it's keeping the companies in mind and not necessarily the candidates. So that's why today at EdVo, the way we work with our candidates is anyone can chat with EdVo, anyone that's interested in an entry or junior mid-level job in sales, customer success, or marketing, you can chat with EdVo online. Just go on our website and there'll be a message us button. And EdVo will ask you a series of questions to truly get to know you, how you work, what type of environments you'll succeed in, what type of experiences you've had, what type of skill sets you have. And based on getting this deep understanding of who you are, we are able to surface opportunities that best fit you. So when you're talking about, again, the universe of opportunities that are out there and how to know which job description is actually going to be for a role that you fit and you can thrive in, it's almost impossible to really figure that out unless, again, full time you're investing in talking to those hiring managers and those recruiters. And one of the biggest challenges, of course, with the job search is even getting a phone call with those folks, because they're obviously so busy and they have their own goals and requirements. So EdVo essentially does all of that work by we go and talk to our employer partners. We go and talk to the hiring managers and recruiters. We understand exactly what they're looking for and what the job and the organization truly consists of. So that once we understand our candidate, we also are able to do the best type of matchmaking and are able to tell our candidates, here are all the opportunities that you'd be a great fit for. Which ones are you interested in? And then whichever ones our candidates are interested in, we set them up with the interviews, we fast track them into the interview process, and we essentially serve as their talent agent. So just like the best, you know, talent in our society, the athletes, the musicians, the actors, they all have talent agents that are incentivized to get them the best opportunities where they'll do their best work. I don't understand why normal people don't have that. So that's really what we're bringing to the table, and essentially guiding our candidates into the right opportunities in the quickest amount of time.
So with talent agents, they, you know, there's generally talent fees. So what would you, what is the breakdown for what a job searcher is responsible for versus the employer? How does it break down?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a simple pay it forward agreement with our candidate. So what we say is, hey, everything we do for you up front is going to be free, no risk. Work with us. Let's get you the actual job. If you accept a job offer through our employer partner network, we then ask you to pay it forward by contributing 5% of your first year's base salary back to EdVo. And that 5% kicks in after you've been at that job for 30 days. So you've had at least 2 paychecks coming in. And that 5% essentially helps us help the next candidate, because again, we do everything up front, from the LinkedIn optimization to talking to the recruiters and pre-negotiating your salary and whatnot. We do it all up front for free. Now, let's say you didn't accept a job offer through EdVo, no problem. If you end up accepting a job offer through your own internal job search, even if you worked with EdVo for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, you owe us nothing. So as the CEO, I made this intentional decision. We had quite a few opportunities here to support candidates and essentially, you know, frame our business model around it. But as the CEO, I said, hey, I want to be the best solution that can actually get people job offers they actually want to accept. And I want to do it in the quickest time. So right now, our average time to get an offer for our candidates is 29 days from when they start talking to EdVo. So within a month, you should have a job offer that you're super excited about that you want to accept. And they typically, from what we've seen so far in our data, they're actually our candidates have gotten a 10% increase in their base salary than they would have if they hadn't worked through EdVo. And that's, again, because we have that insider information on what companies are actually willing to offer and, you know, based on our candidate skill sets, what they can actually command. So that's how our fee structure, quote unquote, works for our candidates. We want to make sure it's a no-brainer. We can help you. And only if we're successful for you is when that pay it forward comes in place so we can help the next candidate. On the flip side, we do not double dip. We do not charge companies anything. And it is so easy in the recruiting world to make money off of companies because all of them need to hire. They're all feeling the pain of, you know, not finding the best person. So all these recruiting solutions out there typically only make money from companies. But again, the reason why we're free is because if we charged companies, they would be our customer, which means we would need to, when we're enhancing our product, we would need to keep them in mind and not keep our candidates in mind. And unfortunately, typically that results in the neglection of our candidates, and we don't want that. So we're free to our companies, and in exchange, by giving them such high value, you know, knowledge, like by sending them high quality candidates at no cost, our companies commit to a strong candidate experience. So they make sure that they're reviewing the candidates we send them within 48 hours, which is impossible, which doesn't really happen in the typical job search when you're waiting weeks and months to hear back from a company. For us, it's within 48 hours. Most of our companies that have worked with us for quite some time and have built that trust with us and have hired through us, they allow candidates to be fast tracked in their interview process if they're coming from EDFO. So that is essentially the value we want to drive to our candidates by, you know, obviously holding our companies accountable, but our companies are really awesome and they want to commit to a strong candidate experience, especially when they're getting so much value for free. They want to be a better employer partner and make sure that whatever candidates come their way through EDFO, they're giving them the best experience possible.
Yeah, I think that's super smart. It's a great mission, and I think it's really important and a really different way of looking at the job search process. In terms of the types of companies and the types of roles, is it pretty varied in terms of what's available?
So in our network, again, we focus on entry to junior mid-level sales, customer success, and marketing. So think, you know, SDRs, junior account executives, sales specialists, customer support, customer success managers, paid search, paid social specialists, media buyers, marketing coordinators. So those are typically the roles that we focus on. And while we're not We don't stick to a specific industry. A lot of the companies that we work with today are tech companies. So, you know, they're in all different industries. They're in fintech, health tech, media tech, ad tech, education technology, all of those. So industry doesn't necessarily come into play, but they are typically just technology companies. So you're often working with a software solution. So my customer success managers, you know, typically need some experience, or if you're just starting out, you can start as a customer support or sales development rep and learn what it means to work for a SaaS company, a software as a service company, and what it means to be within that environment and working with that type of clientele. That said, we do still have companies that are B2C. They're not necessarily selling software. They might have a product. They might be a CPG company, a consumer packaged goods company. So there's quite a variety there, but roles are really where we focus on. So again, entry to junior mid-level sales, marketing, and customer success.
Excellent. So how do people find out more?
You can add me on LinkedIn and come talk to me if you'd like, or you can just go on edvo.com and message EDFO directly. So we're accessible 24/7, and you can talk to EDFO at any time. But again, you can also reach out to me if you have any questions and want to just learn more.
Excellent. And so what's next for you? How are you kicking ass in your job or in life?
Yeah, it's been so cool to go from, at Skillify, I was a solo founder. I bootstrapped the company. And now at EDFO, we're venture-backed. And I have two co-founders, one of which I'm married to. So it's been phenomenal just kind of going against the norm of, you know, all this advice you get of not working with your spouse and, you know, not even building a company in recruiting, for example, because it's such a saturated market. It's been really cool going against the norm and building my own experience and building my own journey. And, you know, we've been at it for now a year and a half, and I probably learned more in the last month than I did, you know, in the last like year or so. So it's been really cool to just be in a really nice place where I'm learning every single day. I have an incredible team. I've got incredible co-founders, and we're just able to, you know, create a story that, again, so many people get the advice to not follow, and we're doing it. And I can firsthand say that it's the best decision for us. So that's what's next for me, is just keeping that up and kicking ass and pushing forward and helping as many people as we can.
Excellent. Shireen, this is great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much to Shireen for sharing all of her wise words. And here are today's top takeaways. Number one, optimize your LinkedIn profile. Shireen is an expert at LinkedIn. She shared how important it is to really have a robust profile on LinkedIn so that you can look the best to future employers. She talked about a couple ways in order to do that. One of those ways was to frame how you talk about the jobs that you've had. Even if it's a part-time opportunity, you're controlling the narrative, so you control how you articulate your accomplishments. Add quantifiable metrics to your success. Layer in data wherever you can. Number two, strive to make real connections and build out your network of champions. I love what Shireen said about this network of champions idea, and it's so, so important in the job search. People matter. So one way, reach out to alumni and take a genuine interest and ask them super interesting, thoughtful questions. What does their role look like? What made them choose their current company? What other companies did they apply for? What are the differences they see in the culture of their company versus another one? Ask also how you can help them. Find ways to add value before you start extracting value. Number three, utilize those internal referral networks. So once you know people, it's really great because they can potentially internally refer you for opportunities within their organization. I will say though, it's super important to find ways that you can add value to their relationship so you don't feel like you're just taking from them. Once again, find ways that you can help them, but it's great to use internal referral networks when they're offered to you. Number four, the one-click apply is out. It's not about how many applications you submit, but rather how many offers you can get. So offers come from having successful interviews, and so your goal is to get more successful interviews and get more offers. And it's really easy to do that one-click apply, but it isn't always the most effective. Applying to 1,000 jobs at once doesn't help if you don't hear back from a single one. That's it for today. Thank you so much again to Shireen, and thank you for giving this a listen. If you like this episode, please rate it, review it, share it. It helps others find it. I recommend you check out my ebook, Kick-Ass in Your Career, for a deeper dive on the job search process. I really want to help you get hired fast, and I created that resource for you to do that. You can find it on my site, kickassin.life. Yes, that's a URL. Also visit my Instagram account, kickassin.life, as well, where I have some inspirational tips on there for you. And as always, email me kickassinyourlife@gmail.com if you have any questions, and I can answer them in a future episode of the show. Thanks so much. Go kick ass in your life. Until next time.